Hear the word of the Lord from the Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter and starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Heavenly Father, may these words I speak be true to your living word. Open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive, and open our minds to understand. Amen. We join the disciples in our reading today, locked in a room, keeping away from the Jews for fear of what they might do to them. And who could blame them, especially after witnessing such a horrendous act committed by the Jewish leaders and crowds? Through the locked door appeared Jesus. There's more to this wonder than what at first may appear. From this act of appearing through a locked door, we can take heart from the fact that Jesus entered. How many times might we have felt that we had locked ourselves away for safety or comfort, because we are anxious of what the outside world may do or say to us? This moment, this instance here, which happens twice in our text today, reminds us that no matter where we are, how trapped we may feel by our circumstances, Jesus is there. Jesus comes into that space with us to help us to step forward, to unlock the door and walk into the outside world with confidence that he is with us in all that we do. Jesus appeared to the disciples at a time when they may have been troubled by what could have happened to them. And the first thing he said to them was, "Peace be with you." Jesus went on to show them his scars, the marks left behind from his time on the cross, therefore removing any doubt that this entity standing before them was the risen Jesus, just as he had said. Any fear, possibly only momentarily, dissipates leaving the disciples overjoyed that Jesus has returned to them and they have seen him. Because they have seen him, they have believed. They have seen the scars from the wounds Jesus bore just a few days before. As the Father has sent him, so he is sending them. But he was not sending them alone without help. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He has given them of himself, and he has given them the Holy Spirit. Jesus again followed through on what he had said before he died on the cross. Staying in John's Gospel, in chapter 14, verse 16, he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." And in verse 26, "The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Jesus had first told them that they were being sent. Then he equipped them. The gifting of the Holy Spirit signals the shift from the physical Jesus to his spiritual presence. We have been gifted the abilities, experience, tools, and techniques to help us. All of those are unique to us. We are all unique, and we are the only ones who can be who we are. When we are asked to do something, to listen, to advise, to guide, whatever it is, we are also given the Holy Spirit to be with us in that task, mission, or commission. The guidance of the Holy Spirit does not end with helping us to do what we have been asked to do. When Jesus was explaining to the disciples about the forgiveness of sins, he first gave the disciples the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, as Jesus said, the counselor left here to help us. We may know and understand that we cannot be forgiven for our sins if we first do not repent and turn away from those sins we have committed. When the gospel is preached, it enables the Holy Spirit to work through the hearers, enabling us to recognize the need to repent of our sins, to then receive the forgiveness that we may have been asking for or seeking. A week has gone by since the first extraordinary event of Jesus appearing to the disciples in a locked room. We are told that Thomas was not present in the first experience of Jesus' appearance to the disciples. We're not given any reason why Thomas was not there just a few days ago. We can suggest several reasons why this may have been. I wonder if Thomas had FOMO. FOMO is the fear of missing out, and a quick Google check advised me that this is a feeling of anxiety about missing out on exciting or interesting experiences or events which others in your circle are present for. Naturally, today this is further exacerbated by social media and the instant updates we can receive to our mobile devices, and yet FOMO is still a thing. I think Thomas had this, and I wonder if he then stuck to the rest of the disciples like glue so he didn't miss out again. We often hear of Thomas being known as Doubting Thomas, and this is the passage where this term has come from. Doubt is something which can be crippling. It can leave us second-guessing ourselves, our abilities, and all that we once knew. Doubt keeps coming. We can overcome doubt in one area of our lives to then need to work on overcoming it in another. Doubt is relentless, and doubt is something we constantly need to keep watch for. It creeps in. It causes harm and destruction. We all have those things we know we are affected by with doubt. When he appeared to them again, the first words from Jesus were the same as his first appearance: "Peace be with you." The peace offered and received from Jesus is often said to be that peace which passes all understanding. Receiving that peace from Jesus can be different for each of us. Jesus then went on in verse 27 to provide a rather remarkable statement, which can be seen as evidence that he hears what we say about him. Jesus' response to Thomas's plain statement in verse 25, requesting evidence, was to me also a slight rebuke to Thomas and his lack of trust and belief. Thomas's response in verse 28 was an exclamation of faith, "My Lord and my God." In one statement, Thomas was able to recognize that rather than leave him in his situation of doubt and lack of belief, Jesus turned up, showed he had risen, just as he said he would. Thomas's response was a profound and immediate recognition of the acceptance of Jesus. Though Thomas was slow to believe that Jesus had indeed risen, his response turned that unbelief into a realization, recognition, and affirmation as he exclaimed, "My Lord, my God." Moving into our passage in Acts, the disciples were different people than when we first met them in our gospel reading. No longer were they anxious or fearful. They had a confidence that they knew and understood and were invigorated with their mission. They had an air of defiance about them because of their confidence. Their confidence came from a determination to trust God rather than the Jewish leaders and what they were saying. I love this change in the disciples. Their confidence has come from their faith and belief. It appeared that they had little to no care for the consequences of what they were doing. They had little room for doubt. The disciples, confident in their mission, had determined what it was they had to do through guidance from the Holy Spirit. The disciples in the Sanhedrin all responded the same way to the question asked of them. Their response in verse 29, "We must obey God." As is quite common these days with people claiming or owning things, the disciples owned this statement. This statement of faith, belief, and trust in the knowledge that they had been commissioned by God came from a trust that the Holy Spirit was with them, and that was all that they needed. That trust and confidence enabled them to become effective witnesses to all that Jesus had promised. After all, everything else Jesus had said would come to pass, did. So why would this have been any different? The disciples went on to confirm that they were in fact calling out those in the Sanhedrin for killing Jesus. But more importantly, they were affirming that God raised Jesus from the dead and that Jesus had been positioned at God's own right hand. Does the locked door to the rooms the disciples were in represent a locked door for us? Is that locked door anything we may be excluding Jesus from? Do we welcome Jesus into our morning and then exclude him from anything we do when we leave the house? Now, we may not have a door locking out the things we may be anxious or fearful of, but like the disciples in their experience of fear shows us, just how easy it can be for us to unintentionally and subconsciously exclude Jesus. How many times do we feel we are on our own, stuck in whatever that situation is, when we might feel all self-righteous and struggling on, so-called, on our own, but we are not on our own. Jesus is there with us, in that locked room, in that situation, no matter how stuck or trapped we may feel. Jesus is with us. There is nowhere that Jesus cannot enter. Jesus is with us no matter what our situation or where we may be. He's just waiting on the invitation. How do we overcome doubt in those moments when we need confidence? We take each step by faith and knowledge and trusting that the Holy Spirit will provide us with the words we need to respond to the questions we may face. I doubt very much that the disciples considered that their commission would extend the church so far and so wide. They were just being obedient to their mission. Their confidence enabled them to travel further afield than their comfort zone. They had no thought for how big this thing, this new way, would be. Each of the disciples used the gifts, abilities, techniques, and tools that they were gifted with, each of them unique. We may recognize that faith is not a one-size-fits-all situation, nor is teaching or spreading the gospel. If the disciples were all the same and regimented in their approach, we would not have the four gospels, each with its own perspective to draw out. We wouldn't have the variety in interpretation of the gospel message, which all help with our understanding of what Jesus said and did, and it is no different to today. Our commission is the same as that of the disciples. It doesn't mean that we are all intended to travel the world, to stand up in front of people and preach our understanding of the gospel. Our commission is how we live our lives, how we respond to the challenges we face, how much we invite Jesus into our lives, and how we respond to the questions we may be asked. In complying with being sent out, the disciples, in faith, went out and followed the command Jesus gave them. They achieved the success in spreading the gospel, spreading and share the gospel of Christ through the Holy Spirit still cannot be measured because that work is ongoing. Have we seen to believe? Do we believe without seeing? And are we ready to declare and affirm who we see Jesus as? For me, Jesus is my Lord, my God. Amen.